Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button and that little notify bell next to it if you're watching on the YouTube, or the subscribe download button if you're listening to us on the iTunes, which is like, I think like 93% of our audio podcast numbers come from iTunes. Crazy, Larson. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Where else can they find us?
Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We just revamped our entire Patreon.
Ooh, we've got 90. So this is a post-Raw pay-per-view live stream. Therefore, all $1 patrons have the ability to watch this right now. We've got 95 people watching right now.
Yes.
That's fantastic. We're going to do a bonus episode for them afterwards. They got to see me troll you a little bit before the camera started rolling here. I'll formal apology. I'm sorry. Can I get a too sweet?
No.
You know why? Because there's a $200,000 Patreon tier for him to give me a too sweet. Let's find out if anybody's bitten on that $200,000 tier. Larson, give me a too sweet. No, it doesn't look like anybody bit on the $200,000 tier. But we
I don't think it's going to happen. And please, by all means, don't do it.
Don't do it. We don't want to do this. Although I do like that internally we've been debating if somebody does do it, some like weird billionaire out there just to troll us, just to throw our worlds into a tizzy, decides to put in $200,000. Would we give it to charity? Would we keep it ourselves? I like money. You like money. We've earned it.
Yeah, well... I'd feel bad accepting $200,000 just to too sweet you.
Well, you'd only be accepting $100,000.
Well, and actually, after taxes, about half that. Exactly. Nonetheless.
Exactly. I mean, when you put it that way, it's like $20,000. It's really not that much money.
So we'll give it to charity.
No, we'll keep it. We need that money.
Oh.
We're going to get an office space hopefully soon. So anyways, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Look at this. Clung to Sunday Mecca Center.
Fun wrestling.
Man, my episode of WGPW off the charts last week, ratings-wise, destroyed you this week on pace to do the same.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. You know what, man? I give you everything. I give you everything I have for fun wrestling. It's your ideas that aren't good.
What is this today?
I'm messing with you. This is to get you riled up a little bit. Well, I love fun wrestling. Fun wrestling is great. I give them out because it's a lot of fun. I love you. You're very. Although this Friday's episode of Gaming in Raw, where we played WWF Raw from 2001, for the Xbox, for the OG Xbox, I don't think I've ever seen you in a little while, anyways, as tickled as you were when you were creating our creative character.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for that.
Yes.
Anyways, let's talk about
Raw.
I can sing this like Pavarotti. Raw. I don't know if he was. What is it when you go high in the notes or chords? No. What is it? Pitch. Falsetto.
Yeah.
What's falsetto?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I don't know what Pavarotti was. He might be low. But Raw, I thought was fantastic last night.
It was
a
fun show.
I thought it was good. I thought, look, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think that Raw, in its three-hour form, is capable of having shows like they had last night on a weekly basis? Or are they just damned? Are they doomed because of the three-hour format?
Yes.
That's got to burn creative out big time.
Yes.
And 3 hours is a lot to fill. But last night...
I think it's easier to have to write an inspired, well-paced, entertaining two-hour show on a regular basis versus three-hour show.
I think that's probably common sense right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I recognize good when I see it, and last night was good.
By and large, a couple. I mean, there's a couple of finishes to the matches that I thought could have been improved, including the first match.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about. I was never bored. There was no black hole last night.
No.
There was no black hole last
night. No black hole.
I think a lot of it was just a lot kind of got resolved. They've been doing this kind of thing lately where there won't ever be like a true blow off. Like they'll extend feuds a bit longer than they should without the proper storyline pivots and twists and turns that it would need for it to continue, but they still continue it.
Yeah.
They let things linger.
Yeah.
And last night seemed to be a pivot point with a lot of stuff. Especially the central part, which was like the best thing about it.
Oh, yeah. That segment was best segment of the year so far.
Best segment of the year, which is funny because we're following up the worst segment of the year last week.
Yeah, which Kurt Angle pointed out.
I know that. I'm telling you, I watched this show, but everybody was saying it was the worst. So yeah. They probably watched All the Monster.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Raw. Let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
Bray Wyatt came down. It's funny, man. Like, when I actually pay attention, I can sort of pick apart why I don't like, week to week, I can pick apart what I don't like about Bray Wyatt's promo versus what I do like about it when it's good. This week, this is what bugged me about it. He comes out and he says that they denied me my sword to fight the Beast, which is the number one contendership to take on Bray Wyatt. But then he said to save you all from damnation. I find it hard to believe that he would equate Brock Lesnar's part-time schedule with damnation. That's a bit much. Why would he be equating Brock Lesnar in general with damnation? That's what kind of bugs me.
I don't know. Maybe he just has a problem with Brock not being on TV.
I know, but it's a pretty heavy thing to say, Dan. Because the thing is, Bray is for like when he can talk in relative specifics sometimes and equate his sort of, you know, his abstract language with things that are kind of real. You know?
Yeah.
When he talks
about...
He just
speaks elliptically about things sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easy to pinpoint exactly what he's talking about. But
which is good, which is
sometimes
fun.
Sometimes it's so nebulous that you can't.
And in this case, referring to Brock Lesnar's title reign as damnation for the people, that's a bit odd. I didn't like that.
Well, I guess, you know, Raw's just damned to not have their top champion on TV 90% of the time.
He should be talking about their three-hour format. So anyway, maybe he thought if he got the Universal title, he could have some stroke with the people at USA.
Well, he'll at least be on TV every week.
Yeah. There you go. Anyways, he talked about how each person denied him his sword, number one contendership. And then he landed at the end on Roman Reigns, who then comes out, and they have a match.
Well, what did Roman say? It's like
Roman said something?
Yeah, he comes out and says, more or less, you know what happens when people run their mouth in my yard?
Oh,
this. And he punched Bray.
No wonder I freaking forgot what he said because it's so boring.
And then they had a pretty decent 20-minute match.
No, I actually really like this match.
My only problem with it is that Reigns won clean.
I don't even, honestly, I don't even bug by that. At this point,
it's just another opportunity for Bray to actually do something. He says he's going to do something. Given the opportunity to do it, he doesn't do it.
They're laughing at you, Captain. Laughing.
Because I like Bray Wyatt.
Dude, he beat Finn clean. You think he's not going to beat Bray clean? He beats everybody clean. It's kind of his thing
now.
I know. Just totally on board with this.
And know what's going to happen at SummerSlam? What? If it's Reigns, Rollins. Rollins is like the second most protected wrestler on Raw. Rollins hardly ever loses clean.
Yeah, Rollins also never gets his stupid finish off.
It's true.
Is Rollins more protected than Finn? They're kind of on the same level in terms of being protected.
When's the last time Rollins ate a clean pin from anybody?
When next time he fights Roman Reigns, it's going to happen.
Yes, at SummerSlam, if that's the match.
I'm actually surprised they didn't have Joe go over last night clean.
I know. That's what I was expecting.
I know. That really could have done wonders.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Following that segment with Heyman, yes.
Yeah, I know. And especially because Seth has one on Joe.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you on that one.
Seth can lose 100 times, I feel like, and not...
Be totally fine.
Yeah, be totally cool.
Fine. Yeah,
be totally cool. He's so over. He's top face on Raw.
The thing that I kind of liked about this match, though, is that it took a lot to put Bray down.
Yeah.
Like, Bray, when he no-sold, the second Superman punch? Didn't no-sell it, but he kicked out it, too.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's done that in a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's...
No. Reigns gives out Superman punches all the time if people kick out of it.
It was something... Yeah, I know, but two? It's on the second one, they're usually down. Oh, come on.
I can think of a couple matches where he's doled out Reigns at, five or six Superman punches.
There was, two... There was, No, hold on. No. There were two kickouts that Bray Wyatt had. that should have, that for a lot of other people would have been a three count.
I don't know about that.
And that's what I appreciate this. He gave him like a spear and he kicked out. He gave him like two Superman punches on the outside and Bray Wyatt barely batted an eye. I think Bray was going, I think he was going solo on that one. He was doing a Dan Severn right there.
Yeah.
What did he call it? Mickey Mouse Operation? Something like that?
Mickey Mouse Cartoon Land, I think he called it. The WWF at the time.
Anyways, I thought they let Bray eat a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Before he lost. That's my main point.
I don't know. It undermines Bray. I mean, he's been undermined many times.
Let me ask you, who looks stronger, Bray in this match or Finn in his match?
Oh, Bray.
Bray, exactly.
But if you're reading results, it still says a loss.
Oh, give me a break. Yeah, if you're reading results, Bray Wyatt probably has the worst win-loss record in the history of, like, the modern era. And he's still in the main event scene, but it's Bray Wyatt. Look, he's Roman Reigns. I don't know what you want. He's Roman Reigns. He's going to get pushed to the moon.
I know, but you could push someone to the moon and still have them
this is the same thing. We're going round and round. Encounter some struggle. You cannot be surprised at this at all.
No, I'm not saying I'm surprised. I'm saying I don't like it.
Well, yeah, you could not like it. See, I don't like it. My thing is this. There's so much more to like. You're right. I don't like it either. But
what's going
to
happen?
I'm resigned to it.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen between now and Mania next year is Reigns is going to go up against everybody on Raw and beat them.
Yeah. See, I don't really care about that necessarily as long as Brock loses the Universal title at some point.
Well, he will at WrestleMania next year.
No. I mean between now and then. You said there was a possibility that Joe would win.
Well, I didn't say it's a possibility. I'd say that I would like that to happen.
Yeah, I would like that to happen too. You think they're going to have Brock? I mean, here's my thing about that. I can't believe for a second. I actually believe that your scenario of Finn picking up the Universal title at SummerSlam is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that they're going to have Brock Lesnar care. Okay, I'll put it this way. I totally believe it because it's lame, and a lot of the time they do things that are lame. But
to have your
top
belt,
they have to throw a swerve at us.
Well, to have your top belt off TV more or less for an entire year.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's a bit much.
I think even for them, that's a bit much.
Yes.
I can't believe they're going to actually do
so
that.
So have Braun interfere in the main event at Great Balls of Fire, cost Lesnar the belt, a protected loss for Lesnar. Give Joe the belt till SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Have Finn win it there.
Yeah.
Some nice symmetry to Finn's story.
Yes.
Have Finn carry it till
Survivor Series.
Even, what's the Hell in a Cell?
Okay.
That's October.
All right.
Have Lesnar beat him there.
Okay.
Have Lesnar carry it to Mania.
Okay.
And then he could lose cleanly to Reigns.
I like Survivor Series because
that's
where he lost big to Goldberg.
Yeah.
Have Finn. See, that. I can't complain about that because at least guys that I like are picking up the Universal title
for
a little bit, putting their name in. I just want that name in the column.
Yeah.
In the history books. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And then, Roman can do whatever the hell Roman wants to do. They're going to have him pick up wins. Nobody's going to care. People are going to keep booing him. Whatever. They're going to do what they're going to do.
It just makes for boring television.
I agree, but that's one guy out of, a roster of
that's
how many?
One guy who's getting a half an hour of the show every week.
That's fine.
That's what? That's, I can't do math right now. That's a good chunk of the show.
That's sixth of the show.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of show.
Man, so go grab your food. Go get your dinner.
It's on 8 o'clock. I've already eaten.
For you, lame. I'm on at 5, baby. I've got the East Coast feed.
I could watch,
do the same thing.
I could, but I'm usually busy.
Yeah.
I'm usually eating dinner at 5 o'clock.
There you go. Anyways, I don't know. Look, my thing is this. Roman Reigns is happening.
No, I know that.
I'm done. I mean, I look, he's gonna win clean every single match he's in, unless there's like something shady going
on.
Yeah,
it's just not interesting.
Stupid. I totally get it.
It's just not interesting.
But it's just like I can keep on whining about it. I'm not saying that you're whining, but I can keep on trying to justify it or whatever, but it's here, so I'm going to just, whatever. Bray Wyatt looked, I'm going to find what I do like about it. Bray Wyatt looked kind of strong, but man, Bray Wyatt eats losses like I freaking eat,
It says every time
burritos.
They seem like they're going to turn the corner with Bray, it's right back to square one.
No, I have never felt that they're going to turn. The only time I felt they were going to turn the corner on Bray Wyatt was when he was back on SmackDown with that title. When Cena ate that, when Cena would eat Sister Abigail's and really sell them, same with AJ, that's when I thought they were going to turn a corner with him. Bray, they're not turning any corners on Bray anytime soon. They're going to keep having him talk weird. He's going to keep having, good showings against quality opponents, but he's going to lose a lot.
Yeah.
That's just Bray Wyatt. I love Bray Wyatt. Man, I put him really. Our friendo sent us the Bray Wyatt skydiving poster.
Yeah.
So I put it front and center right here, man. Look, he's hovering over my angel. He's my better angel, man. Look at that. Ah, Steve, I appreciate you defending me, man.
I'm not winning nothing, though, man.
No.
No, man.
Next, we had a...
I'm a loser you don't know.
An Enzo and Cass interview.
Ooh, this is heating up, man.
Yeah, so... Let's take this opportunity to update
our power. Well, are we want to do it now or we want to do it after the big events that happen?
Okay, we'll do that.
We'll do it later.
I just made that note while I was watching the show.
Okay, fine. One, two.
No, we don't three, have to do it now. Four, we can wait. It makes more sense.
But
to
I'm
do it.
Writing it down now in my notes. A $10 patron's going to get this. Got a couple people in the comments saying, just stop writing notes. You're slowing down the show. Well, I'm going to do it on the slide now, so you're not even going to know. Anyways.
After that, what did they say during this interview? That's one of the few interviews I didn't write any notes for.
Enzo, I don't know. Enzo said some crap, and then Cass said, we don't know who beat up Enzo, but when we find out, we're going to do something about it. S-A-W-F-T.
So, that's a terrible, terrible Cass.
We don't know. Sorry. Anyways, that's essentially what they said.
Yeah, next, Kurt Angle backstage on his phone.
He's so concerned, man. This dick pic of his leaked out. They're not happy about it. He's not happy about it. It could diminish his standing as it could be smirched. His dick is going to be smirched, things, Larson.
Okay.
It's not good.
Alexa Bliss comes into his makeshift office and she's like, she says, I have this great idea for a segment.
Yeah.
Essentially,
this was good. I like this.
Alexa Bliss celebration.
No, she said, this is called Alexa Bliss. This is my life.
Yeah.
And he said, Alexa, this is your life segment last week. Was the worst segment ever in the history of Raw.
Yeah.
Which I love because we literally titled that last week on our video.
Again, someone's watching.
Somebody's watching out there.
And then Kurt says, didn't you promise Nia Jax a title shot?
Right.
After your feud with Bayley was over?
Yeah.
So, title match tonight. Yeah. Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax.
See, look, again, we're pivoting to new stuff.
Yes, that's good.
This is good stuff. And I kind of like the Alexa Bliss stuff this week. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Next up, so I can't call this my favorite segment, but like basically any Drifter segment is going to be my favorite thing.
It's going to be in contention for your favorite segment.
Really,
yes.
Because, this was so good. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, Elias Samson, spotlight.
Hold
on
a second.
Drifter.
Let me ask you something. Because when he was introduced,
mm-hmm.
spotlight on him,
mm-hmm.
there was a good amount of cheers in the audience.
Oh, yeah, man.
But when he started singing,
yeah.
there was a lot of boos.
He was running down their town.
I understand.
It took him a second, I know. No, I get it. It took him a second to actually run down the town. As soon as he started strumming. Now, you're the music guy.
Yeah.
He's horribly out of tune, isn't he?
Oh, his tune is not bad. He's just not that great of a guitar player. Well, I mean...
Okay.
Playing guitar while singing is not the easiest thing.
Okay,
and I'm sure
right.
he's more of his concentration is dedicated to getting the words right.
Yeah.
As opposed to the timing of his chords.
I wonder
being
if he's like a supremely skilled guitar player who is simply knowingly doing. Because even me, like I'm not, I don't know a dick about that, but I can tell when something just sounds off.
Yeah.
And I think it's just bad.
Like I said, it's hard to concentrate in doing two things musically at once, especially when they're in counterpoint to
it. He seems like he's having such a good time.
Because I think, was it Paul McCartney said that like, the hardest thing he has to do is sing a melody that's not the same melody as he's playing on bass?
Oh, yeah.
In counterpoint to another?
Oh, that seemed like it'd be
so
horrible.
It's not easy. I was kind of wondering if they were piping in boos.
Maybe. That could be because some of the boos sounded very distinctly like heckles,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like boo, you suck, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that could be, man. I don't know. They're not going to be able to do that for long if this is actually picking up steam. If this
yeah.
is actually getting,
yeah.
like if people are actually
just the juxtaposition between because it's like the Drifter is in your arena. You know exactly what's coming.
Yeah, I know exactly.
And for the crowd to cheer him at first. And then once he starts his song, just boos.
Mm.
It seemed jarring.
Yeah, I know. What did he say? Damn it! Well, I keep on meaning to write his lyrics down because they're great. He said, "Where was he?"
In Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
But he said, "I was hanging out." What did he say? I forget.
Oh, he saw like a leaf fall.
Yes, that's right.
Off a tree.
And he started talking about there was like no hope for the city or
yeah.
something like that.
But there was also a lot of lyrics about Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was talking about the lunatic.
Because he's supposed to have a match with Dean. Out comes Dean. He just
right.
attacks the Drifter.
I just love when Dean's music interrupted his song. He
yeah.
looks so annoyed.
Yeah.
He's Oh, it's so great.
After Ambrose beat up the Drifter, he calls out the Miz. The Miz appears on the Titantron.
Yeah.
Says, no, no match tonight.
Right.
Miz is having a celebration.
Yeah.
And so the Drifter comes from behind, attacks Dean, and gives him a swinging neck breaker.
I love that swinging neck breaker.
Yeah,
man.
It's good.
I love that a million times over. It looks pretty brutal, too. Not as brutal as Terry Funk's, but it looked really good. And then he was like yelling at him. He was like, this is what happens when you hit me in the face with a mic. And he was really selling the mic punch. So that was good, too. Anyways, Drifter can do no wrong in my book. Do you think this is going to lead to anything between Drifter and Ambrose? I don't know. I kind of feel
like it's
going
to be a match.
You think so?
At Great Balls of Fire.
You think that's going to go down?
Yeah.
When is Ambrose getting his rematch?
Probably at Great Balls of Fire. So it won't be then. Probably on Raw.
Okay. Let's see here. So then we have
Ambrose and Kurt Angle backstage. Ambrose wants an Intercontinental title rematch. Kurt says no.
No.
In fact, he tells Dean, take the night off.
Yeah. He said essentially Dean is planning, Maurice is doing the main planning behind the IC celebration. And, you know, I don't want to deal with her if you interrupt this because that's a pain in the butt. He said his team is negotiating the rematch for the Intercontinental Championship. So you just need to leave, and Dean reluctantly
left the arena.
Agreed, yeah. Next up, Samoa Joe came out to talk about being numero uno contender.
This whole segment is in contention for segment of the year.
Segment? Are we going to give out an award for that?
Segment
of the year.
Because, wow.
This only solidifies what I said on our episode of Count Out, was it last week, when we were talking about best talkers.
Yeah.
This was like a scene out of the movie, out of a good movie.
No one does
quality.
No one does menacing as well as Samoa Joe.
It's these words that he says, man. Nobody has his.
It's the timbre of his voice. It's the pace at which he talks. It's his it's everything. It's vocabulary,
and it's simply the writing.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that if it's not him, like, did he bring his own writer? Is it him? Is it Heyman? I don't know, but it's great.
Yeah.
And it's consistently great.
Yeah.
So anyways, he goes in there and he talks about wanting what Brock Lesnar has.
Said he was envious.
En totale, all of it.
He wants Brock's schedule.
Yeah.
He wants Paul Heyman as his advocate.
He wants Paul Heyman running his errands.
Negotiating his deals for him.
Yeah.
And then more than anything else, he wants Brock Lesnar's Universal Championship.
Right, exactly. It was fantastic. And then to make things even better, Paul Heyman showed up, and he said, you are the worst-case scenario for Brock Lesnar.
Oh, Joe also mentions that he doesn't fear Brock.
Right. And Paul Heyman threw that back at him and said, you don't fear Brock. Brock doesn't fear you.
Yeah.
He says, but I thought Finn Balor was the best-case scenario for Brock. You are the worst-case scenario for Brock. And, you know, he sort of does the standard Paul Heyman thing.
But it was, he did the standard Paul Heyman thing, but
I didn't mean that it was standard in terms of, like, you know, I wanted to go to, because, like, a lot of the times he sort of spins his wheels. This was good.
This was very good.
It was very good. So anyways, I just want to fast forward to the cool part.
Yes.
So the cooler part. As he starts to leave, Joe puts down his mic and he stops Paul from leaving.
Because they shake hands.
He backs him up into the corner. And he gets really invades his personal space.
Yeah, they're maybe 4 inches apart.
Like, yeah, if that. And he's like into him.
And he says, you know, I'm really disappointed that you showed up and not Brock.
Yeah.
That just you showed up.
Yeah.
And he says, all right, Paul, something very bad is going to happen to you right now.
Right. It's like, I'm telling you, it's like a hitman. It's like freaking Jules Winfield from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And Heyman says, I'm just an advocate. Joe goes, very calmly,
yeah,
but stern.
Yeah.
I understand, Paul. And he says, here's what's going to happen.
Paul's peeing himself at this point.
Yeah. And Joe says, this is what's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wrap my arm around your neck.
Yeah, oh, it's so
And
nasty.
It's going to tighten.
Yeah.
And your vision's going to get a little hazy.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go dark. And you're going to pass out. Very calm.
Yeah.
And this whole time, Paul's freaking out.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And Joe says, and I want you to send this message and describe it in the only way you can,
excruciating detail.
Like only you can.
Yeah.
Because this was meant for him.
Mm-hmm.
And puts Paul in the coquina clutch.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Can I tell you right now?
I watched that twice. It was good.
I was standing up. I was maybe, like, I don't know, 2 feet away from my 55-inch screen out there. And I had a giant smile on
Me
my
too.
Face during the entire
Me too.
Time. It was so flipping good. It was so well done. So, yeah, he puts Paul in the coquina clutch. Paul passes out. Refs come down, get him off. And oh, it was so good. It was so flipping good. Yeah, segment of the year by far.
So far, yeah. Absolutely. I think so.
Yeah. So this is something really, really look forward to. I hope they realize, as we saw with Goldberg, which I thought all in all was a very well executed program.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Brock is so much more interesting when he's not doing his repetitious suplex
city
repeat
stuff. Yeah.
Guard kind of crap.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, for the longevity of a great character like Samoa Joe, they don't treat him like they did Randy Orton. I want them to treat him. I know they're not going to treat him like Goldberg, but make it a match.
Yes.
Make it a real match, and I'll be interested in it.
Yes. Very much so. After that, we had Samoa Joe backstage. Kurt Angle comes up to him and more or less says, "What the hell are you doing out there?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Joe, you know, says, "I don't really care what you say."
Yeah.
He says he'll take down anybody that gets between him and Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth Rollins comes up and says, "Hey, Joe, mm-hmm. I'm in front of you."
Yeah.
More or less. It was a little clumsy.
Yeah.
Which sets up a match for our main event, Joe versus Seth.
Yeah. And I like this, too. This was great. This was another great Samoa Joe moment. At the very end, he says, "The mistakes we make, Seth, the mistakes we make." I don't know where I got that from. I don't know who wrote it for
him. It's great.
It was fantastic. Like, that right there is what it should be. That's what it should be. It was fantastic. I was like, it was such a small punctuating moment
mm-hmm.
that was super effective.
Yes.
So anyways, cut to Sheamus and Cesaro.
Do 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 do
versus Slater and Rhino.
They lost.
They lost, yeah. Oh yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. I knew this. It's so funny too, because like I was like, oh, who's in the ring against them? A, they got a jobber entrance. And B, when they cut to them, I was like, oh, it's just extra sad because they were on the top of the world.
I know.
They had a good thing going.
They did, and they didn't know what to do with it once they got the belts on them on SmackDown.
Nope. But you know what? They're still a team. Sheamus ended up going over for the team with a brogue kick.
And then Sheamus and Cesaro had a promo afterwards that was a little awkward.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I mean, it was what it was. I don't expect, like, you know, this is coming off of an amazing Samoa Joe thing. So
mm-hmm.
What'd they say in this? They basically just said they put the Hardys away. The Hardys weren't there that night.
Nope.
They're celebrating the... Do we know if baby Hardy has been born yet?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything on Twitter.
Mm-mm.
But I know Matt was telling his unborn child via Twitter to hold off until Tuesday when dad can be there. So hopefully, we're going to get some good news on that. Next up. Ooh, I like this a lot, man.
Yeah, this was good.
This was good. But I got so many questions here for you.
Okay.
TJP was backstage, runs into Neville, basically says, "Time to pay up."
Yep.
Time to pay up.
I helped you with Austin Aries. I want my title shot that you promised me.
Right, exactly. And Neville says, you know, "Take care of your business with Mustafa Ali tonight, and I'm going to talk to Kurt Angle for you." And about that title shot. So then we had TJP versus Mustafa Ali. Good match. TJP
yes.
went over with a detonation kick. Neville comes out and says, "I might be the king of the cruiserweights, TJP,
but I'm no miracle worker. So no,
I love it.
I know.
It's great.
So apparently, according to Neville, he talked to Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle said, "No deal."
Right.
For a title match for TJP.
So TJP, beside himself, says, "Okay, you and I are going to go back and talk to Kurt Angle right now. I want to talk to your manager."
Yeah.
"To your general manager. I want to talk to him now. Let's go back and talk to him." And Neville...
That,
looking like he got caught.
I know. That expression was great.
It was great.
It was really good.
It was so good. TJP turns to walk, and Neville goes, "I'm so annoyed with this.
Yep.
I'm so annoyed. I got to put up with all this stuff." And he clocks him.
Yep.
And then says, "You'll get your shot at 205 Live." So yep. he was trying to pull a fast one over him.
Yep.
Oh, so good.
So what questions do you have?
Okay, so my question is this a face turn for Neville? Is this a face turn for TJP? Obviously, it's not a face turn for Neville because it's like the most heel thing he could do. Where does TJP stand on the heel? I mean, I know that they don't, but they kind of need it.
I wonder if this would be a scenario where they have this match and it is Neville circling back to why he kind of aligned himself with TJP.
Okay, yeah.
At least superficially. Mm-hmm. We all knew it was to help him out with Aries.
Yeah.
which is to kind of like, hey, you need to focus your energies on to winning and whatnot. So this is essentially going to be Neville out there showing TJP how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of which, TJP can be like, okay, I still have more to learn. I'm still with you, Neville. That way they can both stay heels.
I like the idea. I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen either.
Yeah, but I like the idea. I don't know how this is going to go down, but I'm interested to see 205 Live.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that. I really wish that they stick with TJP and his new sort of attitude and being, I think you can do a heel type thing when have two guys who are so diametrically kind of opposed.
Yeah, and two really well-defined characters.
Right, exactly. You can do that.
Yes.
And not really need a heel face thing. So then we had, I do not recall this Goldust promo.
Oh, yeah?
Interesting. I saw the R-Truth one, and the R-Truth one was, I'm over that. How was the Goldust one? Any good?
Yeah, it was on par with the previous ones.
Oh, I think I was like making dinner until Kurt Angle pulled Corey Graves from commentary, so I just missed a little bit. There's a Sasha Banks. Oh, I did see the tail end of this. Sasha Banks, Dana Brooke, Mickey James backstage.
Alexa Bliss goes back into the locker room and asks for their help.
Right.
Sasha just leaves.
Yeah.
And Mickey James and Dana Brooke more or less say, you know, we don't have a Nia Jax problem. You, Alexa Bliss, have a Nia Jax problem.
Alexa Bliss tries the old, you know, well, I crapped on you before, but now I want to be your bestie type mm-hmm. thing. And so, yeah, we saw how that played out a little bit later on.
Yep.
Kurt Angle then went to the commentary table to take Corey Graves, I need you real quick. And so
they have a conversation off to the side while Michael Cole and Booker T are just wondering what's going on.
Man, how long is longer until Plant Otunga comes back?
I want to say August.
Oh, really? That long? I thought it was going to be 6 weeks.
No, they extended
that's awesome.
Booker T's stay.
Oh, just because Otunga
was on the pre-show.
Oh, okay.
So he's already back.
Oh.
From shooting his movie.
Booker T is the man.
Yeah, he is.
Can we, God, whoever was watching this that has some stroke there, we know you're out there. Booker T is the man. Keep him around. He's got great rapport with everybody.
Yes.
And I love every week. Number one, oh, that's what I forgot to mention about the Drifter, is that I love that Michael Cole and Booker T are all in on the Drifter.
Oh, I know. They're fans.
Corey, what's your problem with him? He's great. You couldn't do any better. That's what Booker said. Oh, man. I love that. That's great. That's really good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways.
After that, Kurt Angle was backstage. He's on his phone again. He exits the arena during an interview.
Yeah.
In the background, top guys.
Yeah. They're milling about back there.
Yep.
Being top guys.
And then this is interesting. So Kurt Angle leaves.
This is so cheesy. It was so cartoonish.
And then who holds the door open?
Dean Ambrose is essentially the freaking Wile E. Coyote at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, no. Roadrunner.
Roadrunner at this point. So how, I guess Kurt was focused on his phone. Maybe he just didn't notice that Dean Ambrose was lurking by the door waiting for it to open or something.
Yeah,
So Dean comes back in through the arena, into the arena, right after, literally right after Kurt Angle leaves.
Yeah. It's so cheesy, but, I mean, I don't know. The wrestling is cartoonish.
It is. It can be.
A lot, so that's fine. Anyways.
So next we had Kalisto take on Titus O'Neil. Apparently, Akira Tozawa was invited to join Titus Brand because he was watching the match backstage.
Oh, that's kind of interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, maybe they're figuring out that you need to start doing some. They're listening to you.
Yes,
they're saying do some of that.
Yes, crossover,
some leakage. Yeah, Kalisto pins Titus. He had a handful of tights again. Paul Cruz found that endlessly amusing. Because that's how Titus won last week. They did another Titus press conference backstage. Titus was very happy because it wasn't... wasn't it Mike Rome? Mike Rome cracks me up because he always, like, whenever the camera cuts to him, he's always like this. He always has kind of sad-ish face. Like, his resting face, I think, is sad.
Mm-hmm.
So when they cut to him, he's like this. But anyways, it wasn't Mike Rome this time. It was Charlie.
Oh.
Titus was very happy. He was like, Charlie, I've been trying to get you here to one of my Titus Brand press conferences. So please, go ahead and ask a question. And she says... Well, your Titus Brand's recent win-loss record is resulting in a 66% failure rate. Why would any investor invest in Titus Brand given that you have a 66% failure rate? And Titus quickly put an end to the press conference. I was very disappointed in Charlie's question, but she says, you know, I've done some investing in my day and a 66% failure rate is not acceptable. And he says, Charlie, I thought you'd be better than this. And they both left. It was awesome. Very good. Very entertaining minute and a half of my time this morning. Then we had Miz and Maryse backstage.
They're walking to the ramp, I guess, mm-hmm. in preparation for the Miz's celebration, and they come across Cass.
Right.
Who'd just been beaten up.
Taking a nap. Oh, is that what it was? He was just being beaten up. Yeah. Thought he just took a nap under some debris.
Yeah, that's interesting. Take a nap under debris.
Well, you know, when you've lived my life. Who wants to walk in Steve's shoes?
Not I.
Not you, man. You don't know what it's like taking a nap under debris. I do. Anyways, he had been attacked, and Enzo comes up to him, or a ref comes up to him and says, hey, let's get some help, and Enzo finds him, and he's, like, blaming the ref, or he's saying, did you see anything? I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And then Cass produces a like a gold chain, like a necklace type thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, that. I mean, Enzo wears those.
Yeah.
So what? Speculate. What's going on?
Well, here? Enzo said that, you know, whoever had beaten him up the previous 2 weeks took that from him.
Right.
And
right.
planted it.
So they're trying. So whoever this is trying to break them up.
I'm happy you
so
said.
It seems.
I'm happy you said whoever this is. It's a perfect segue to
power rankings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now. I think Cass has fallen from 1 to 2.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who's 1 now?
I don't know.
I still think it's Cass.
You think it's Cass? He's tied for the 1 and 2 spot.
No, I think he's 1 still.
No, I think I'm saying he's 2.
Oh.
But then I don't really know who number 1 would be. I'm very.
So I don't think top guys are number 1. But then again, it's like the most obvious thing.
Top guys. You think Cass?
Top guys and Cass tied for 1.
Where is the... Okay, that's good. Tied for top 3. Where is the logic? What's Cass trying... I mean, obviously, it'd be Cass trying to throw Enzo off his trail.
Yeah.
What would Cass's end game be here? I don't even get what his end... He actually had a good end game here. Number 5 has to be Big Show, right? Because Cass is pointing the finger at Big Show. Although it's not even close to being Big Show. But I have no other guesses.
Someone in one of our YouTube video comments suggested the Drifter.
Why?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Put the club at 3.
Club. I'm gonna put in between Cass and top guys. Is there any possibility like the Corey Graves Kurt Angle thing? Is still maybe related to this?
Oh, I think so.
Corey is at number 2.
Interesting.
Or somebody of his ilk. Somebody under his supervision. But I don't know.
It's either Cass or top guys.
You really think so?
Yeah.
I don't think it's top guys at all, to be honest with you.
I don't think it is either. I think it's Cass.
I think it's obvious that Cass is involved. But there's somebody else involved
with
them.
Oh, could be, yeah.
That's my thing. I think there's somebody else involved with Cass.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Anyway.
Good job. So that took us took us to the Miz's Intercontinental title celebration.
I thought this was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I thought this was cool. This is really cool. So understanding that Dean Ambrose is on the loose, Miz comes out with Maryse, and they have a big thing. There's like a dancing bear guy.
There's balloons that spell Miz,
that
there's
was good.
A table with some champagne.
Right. So he was, you know, talking it up, and then it was revealed. Maryse said, hey, because Miz was saying, oh, this is great. You even got a dancing bear here. You guys can get that trending Miz bear.
Yeah.
And she said, Miz. Oh, she opened up the thing, by the way, saying, this is a celebration for the IC title, my very sex man husband, the Miz. It was great. She's so stinking cute. She says, Miz, that is not my bear. I did not bring the bear.
And the Miz says, well, it's not my bear, obviously. So he attacked it.
Yeah.
Thinking it was the Ambrose.
He laid in that bear.
gave him a skull crushing finale. It was great. Took the mask said, part
and
off.
Gentlemen, Dean Ambrose, and then it was just some dude.
Yeah, and he said, and Miz says,
some
"Well,
local, wrestler."
And then Miz says, "Well, at least now you can say you got beat up by the Intercontinental Champion." Threw
it
over the top
really
rope.
Funny. The crowd popped up. Oh, and the great thing is the crowd was chanting, "You deserve it!" at the start of it. That was fantastic. It doesn't matter, Miz. The people are starting to love you, man. The smart marks are loving you now. It's fantastic.
So right after that, some people would come and deliver a giant box to the ringside area. And Miz says, well, look at this box. It's huge. And more or less says, I wonder who's inside. Goes and grabs a steel chair while he's talking about this box. Yeah. Drops the mic and starts beating the hell out of this box with a steel
chair.
While
Maurice is saying, Miz, don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. I think that is my gift.
So after he knocks the box over, he starts dropping elbows on it. It was great. Then Maurice finally gets the Miz's attention. He stops, and she goes, no, this is a gift for me. Mm-hmm. And so out of the box, the Miz pulls part of a grandfather clock.
Yeah. She said, it's timeless, like you.
Yeah, and Maurice, very upset, storms up the ramp.
She cartoonishly runs, speed walks away.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, and Miz is pleading with her to come back. It's je t'aime.
Yeah. And so he gets back in the ring, and suddenly there's a cameraman there.
Yeah.
It's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
He's done that before, disguised himself as a cameraman, right?
He's had a bevy of disguises in the past.
And so he hits Miz.
I like that they're referring to, I forget what they said the actual name of the cameraman that they thought it was.
Oh.
It was like a lead cameraman guy.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
And they said, I thought that was, I don't know. I forget his name, but Booker's like, I thought he had lost some weight. Looked like he had slimmed down.
Dean hits the Miz with dirty deeds.
Yeah.
So I guess we're getting this program for another month.
You know what? If it continues to be as entertaining as it was this week, I'm fine with that. Whatever. They're on their little own SmackDown, leftovers island, if you will.
Yeah.
They're away from the main event scene with everybody's competing for a belt. They're not going to win, probably. I like this. This is good. The IC Championship, in my mind, is lots of entertainment going on.
Yes.
Especially now that Miz has it again.
Yes.
Then we had, because you know what's funny is that so many guys are better when they're chasing the belt. Miz is better when he has the belt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah. You know what I watched this morning? A lot of, or some of, half of, the Flair, Orton, Bruno dinner.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It was really good so far. Bruno talks a bit more about the stuff he talked about with JBL and his childhood and stuff, because Orton's like, what was the worst thing about growing up in, during the war, where you were? And he talks about his mom and stuff. It's really good. I really love the kind of creative pairings they have these days.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I mean, the fact they would have AJ Styles and HBK on the same one talking about the match that never happened. That's cool. That's really
cool.
Creative.
I know.
It's neat. I watched the Cornette Bischoff.
Yeah.
I wish it was an hour.
I know.
I wish it was an hour. It was so good.
I know.
It was really good. Let's see here. Then we had, so Enzo comes out and he says, I don't have Cass, because that was his big problem. Cass was out, so.
Well, he had a match.
He had a match against the club, and he says, I called in a favor.
Well,
Big Show came down, and at first he was no-selling Enzo's goofiness, and then Big Show got right into it. He opted into it. It was kind of a big swerve. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they ended up beating the club when the Big Show, instead of Enzo jumping off the top rope and him slamming him like he does, just picked up Cass or Enzo to use him as a missile. And the entire time, the commentary team and Enzo were saying, Show, this isn't how we do it. This is how we this is going to suck.
Yeah.
But they ended up winning and they going over and it worked and it was great.
What are they doing with the club?
Not a damn thing.
The club should really, they should have booked the club like they booked Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, I know. They had Cesaro and Sheamus. But in club form, they already had the club, and then they made Cesaro and Sheamus. I don't get it. I don't get it either. It's weird. Yeah, and from what so many people say, like AJ said this, and I think Finn said this. Karl Anderson is one of the best wrestlers on the planet.
Yeah, we don't ever get to see that.
We never get to see that. We never get to see it. We never get to see Sami Zayn either. So whatever. I don't know, man. I don't know, but I do. I do. I'll say this. I know I say this a lot. About a lot of people. A couple people. Club, they can go up to the main event scene at any time and be believable.
Yeah.
I believe that. Anyways. Let's see here. Then we had... I'm R-Truth, he needs to take a lesson from Samoa Joe. He needs to mix up every time I want to hear something different. If he's going to do this R-Truth movie promo thing, don't just say the same Pulp Fiction lines over and over again. You need to mix it up a little bit. And he's been around for a long time, so maybe that's just not, you know, maybe he's just used to, because I know, like, with wrestling, oftentimes repetition is key, you know, because it's your thing that you're known for, but he needs to mix it up. Saying over and over again, the, what was it? And I shall rain down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger. Do something different, Archer.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's see here. Then we had an Alexa Bliss interview, which was followed by an Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax match.
Yeah, Mickie James and Dana Brooke came down to the ringside area like they promised to do during the locker room segment earlier in the show.
Right.
Nia Jax was dominating the match
mm-hmm.
until Alexa Bliss gets, goes outside. She gets in the face of Mickie James and Dana Brooke. They all start brawling, and then Nia is disqualified. Alexa Bliss wins, retains her belt.
Yeah, she started some...
And then Alexa Bliss is sitting against a barricade, smiling, because it's all part of her plan.
All bloody blood on her lip, too.
Yep.
Yeah, so she did good. She got DQ'd. And then Nia Jax destroys Mickie James and Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
In the ring. It was good. Let's see here. Then we had Paul Heyman in the trainer's room, still recovering from the coquina clutch.
His phone rings. He looks at it. The trainer sees who's calling. The trainer's like, whoa. And then Paul shows the phone to the camera. It says, Brock.
Yeah.
And so he answers.
Apparently Paul Heyman only knows one Brock. Because there was no Lesnar after.
Mm-mm.
Anyways, so we're going to get Lesnar on Raw next week.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
That should be good.
Then we had our main event, which is Samoa Joe versus Seth Rollins. Is Seth Rollins ever going to get this finish off on anybody?
Is that
ever going to happen?
No.
Because it's the ugliest setup, but then we don't even get the finish ever.
I know.
That's so silly. That's like the silliest thing.
I know. Decent match, fun match.
Yeah, it was a good enough match.
The finish saw Seth Rollins had taken control,
mm-hmm.
and then Bray Wyatt's Titantron video package plays.
Yeah,
and Seth is distracted, looks for Bray.
Yeah,
Samoa Joe comes from behind, puts him in the coquina clutch. Seth passes out. Joe wins.
You know what? I kind of like this distraction more than I've liked other distractions, because usually the other distractions, they just sit there and stare at the ramp. At least this time, Seth was kind of looking around for him, like sort of frantically.
But it's Bray.
It's still stupid.
Say Bray provided the distraction. What's Bray's motivation? Because he and Joe have had an on again, off again alliance for the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, they were running around the ring with that big.
But
set
then
of
afterwards,
steel steps.
But then after the match or during the match later on, Bray
the alliance had been broken up.
Yes. So is this Joe getting friendly with whoever's doing the Titantron? And says, if I ever am not in the advantage, play Bray Wyatt's video. What is it?
I would love to think that would be the case.
Yes.
That would be amazing
if
they went that meta with it, but no.
Or is this Bray following through on what he said to open the show, that he was going to punish Air Bales from that match? But in this scenario, he's only punishing one person, Seth.
Well, he's got to, you know, one by one, he's got to, you know.
And he didn't even punish Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns won.
Well, yeah, but he no-sold a couple of his
That's
moves.
Not really punishing him, though.
Well, at this point, I'll take anything with Roman Reigns.
Okay.
What was his punishment when he got a wellness policy violation? Like a decade-long run with a U.S. title, which was booked stronger than the Universal title.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, punishment with Roman Reigns is kind of relative. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's Bray. So what are we thinking? Bray versus Seth at Great Balls?
I don't know.
What did you say before?
I thought it was going to be Seth. Well, for SummerSlam, Seth Reigns.
Again, not, but you can't do Seth versus Reigns, man.
Why not? The crowd at Extreme Rules, when they were in the ring together, just the two of them, was into it.
No. And in the words of Top Notch, no. I'm into it. You're into it. We're into it.
Why don't you think it's going to happen?
Because there's no heel.
I don't think it matters.
That definitely does matter.
Nah.
We're not getting Seth versus Roman.
It's going to be Finn Bray.
Where'd you say that was going to happen?
SummerSlam is going to be Finn Bray, Seth Roman, depends. If Lesnar's
in
still
the
champ.
The smallest letters possible, I'm going to write maybe.
If Lesnar's still champ, then it's Lesnar, Strowman. Well, it's Lesnar, Strowman, regardless.
Man, there goes my... Oh, wait. No, yeah, it might be Dean Samoa Joe. Could still happen at the SummerSlam.
If Joe's not champ.
I hope it doesn't.
If Joe's not champ.
I want your scenario to play out.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. If that's the case, then it'd be Joe Finn or Joe Finn Bray.
Yeah.
And then Seth Reigns, Lesnar, Strowman.
Are you hearing that right now?
Is that your stomach?
That's my stomach.
Wow.
Wow.
You better get through the rest of the show. Answer some questions.
All right. Well, let's do that. Yeah. So anyways,
my word.
Joe ended up winning. We'll do a
great show for Joe.
Amazing show for Joe. It was actually a really, really fun Raw. I was really excited by it. I'm looking forward to next week's. just remember, totally forgot to shout out the pledges on Patreon.
Yes.
I will be doing that on the SmackDown episode tomorrow.
Yes.
Anyways,
question time.
Let's go to questions. Now. I'm going to reload this.
Me too, because I don't see any that have been liked.
I want to see some upvotes, people. We
yes.
need to upvote some of these questions.
101 here. Questions, and not one of them has gotten an upvote so far that I've seen.
Yeah, that is weird. I put in the instructions to upvote.
Oh, I see it.
Oh, you did it? Oh, you see the instructions?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, nobody upvotes. No questions read.
All right, time for Kayfabe Corner.
All right, let's see here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see who, hopefully they put if they're a first-time question asker. Because here's the thing. For the $1 a month Patreon pledge, that's where we get our questions from. We put up you get access to the Patreon wall thing and our posts. And the QA thread is here on the Patreon.
Yep. Jack Dolan, second-time patron here. Got a job and wanted to help you guys out with YouTube being dumb.
Thanks, Jack. By the way, we have seen improvements in the YouTube
yes.
space, and
yes.
we appreciate everybody out there on the Twitter letting us know if they see ads. So we've seen an improvement. I know, you know, we can talk about this briefly, the whole WCPW thing. We're big fans of what they do.
Yes.
We're big fans of them as people. We've
yes.
had the pleasure of meeting them a couple times.
Yes.
And we want nothing but good things for them. We think that the YouTube thing with the specifically pro wrestling content, like actual pro wrestling, is bogus. From what we understand, they're working on getting that
yes.
fixed.
Yes.
Our channel, talking about pro wrestling stuff, has seen an increase in ads. It's not consistent. It's not the way it used to be.
Yeah.
But we have seen improvements, so that's good.
Yes, it's promising.
It's promising. I have no idea what happened. Apparently, their show was taken down almost immediately.
But then just today they said it was brought back. They were able to stream and put it back up and stuff.
The strike, so they appealed it?
Yeah, they appealed it. The strike was removed.
Was there any indication as to no? Huh? Wow.
Nope.
Interesting.
Jack Dolan's question is, anyway, which wrestler, past or present, should have sung their entrance lyrics? Their song, I would assume.
Dusty Rhodes. What was his WWF theme?
I don't
remember. It was sung, I think.
That sounds right.
By like a female singer, I think.
Vince McMahon.
No chance. No chance in hell.
Exactly.
You got
no chance.
Exactly.
I love when
he's got to pivot from mellow Vince to loud Vince mid lyric.
Yeah.
You've got
no chance.
No chance in hell. Like that.
That's good. Daniel Hyatt. Says first time question asker here. I've heard you guys go on about Mustafa Ali a fair bit on the 205 Live recaps, and I'm wondering what you guys think his ceiling is. If that's winning the cruiserweight title, then how would you guys go about booking it? I think that they could. I think that it wouldn't be that much.
Wait,
of a
who
stretch.
Is this again? Sorry,
Mustafa Ali.
Oh.
I don't think it's that much of a stretch. Number one, absolutely the cruiserweight title.
Yes,
he is the ceiling.
Mustafa Ali is great.
He's fantastic, and I could see the Drew because I love the Drew Gulak thing. I could see that being a program that could be played out for the title
yeah.
in its
yeah.
ultimate form, whether or not the brilliance of Neville will get in the way of that.
Yes.
Probably will.
If nothing else, I think that program could be the catalyst for for a next step for Mustafa Ali.
I know. The problem is Drew Gulak and this what they're doing with Drew Gulak is so good, be hard to top it. But Mustafa Ali is good.
Yeah,
he's
he
really
is.
Good.
Brock without the K Lesnar, so just BROC.
Oh
Lesnar.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's a regular Twitter guy.
First time patron here, thank you very much. If you could pick the starting lineup for the Sacramento Kings for one game made up of WWE superstars, past or present, who would you pick, and what position would they play?
What is it again?
Lineup of the Kings made up of WWE superstars, past or present.
Oh, you know what's funny too is that they'd be vastly better than the product they put on the court now. Although we do have some good picks this year. Yes. 5-10.
And got some good young talent on the roster, too.
I know. I know. I was telling our friend the other day, I was like, man, you know, because we won like, oh, because he was telling me that like our internet squad, our internet social media team is like, they just won like best in the league or third best in the league or something like that. And I believe it. Like I spent some time working with those same people years ago and they're really quality. But I was like, and then Golden One Center won all sorts
like
of
like best venue or something like that. Yeah. I'm like,
we can do everything right except put a good product on the court. Anyways.
Give it time.
Who do I want to say? Well,
Cass.
Cass, yeah, I was thinking Cass. Nash, in his prime, or when he was young, he played basketball.
Yeah.
So you got the Twin Towers right there. Who's running the point? Didn't you say Miz and, was it Kofi? Had like a thing in the court?
No, I think, was it? It was Miz and, yeah, I think it was Miz and Kofi.
Okay. Put them both on there.
Sounds
shooting
good.
Guard, point guard.
Yes, sounds good.
So we needed like a three.
We need a small forward.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else plays basketball on the WWE roster, past or present. You know what? Screw it. Put Big Show at the three.
Oh, wow.
We'd get killed. All you got to do is play small ball against us.
Oh, I know.
We'd get killed.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Peter Stahl. Says, hey, Steven Larson, recently promoted low-level writer PJ from Germany. Congratulations on your promotion to low-level writer.
Yes.
Let's see here. No longer one of the ring crew. I thought this is the right time for my first question. I think that's great. He says, I guess we can all agree that Bailey's character is dead right now. Not literally. She was off TV to rehab her injuries.
Yes.
And it would take some time to build it up again, her character. So why not take the chance and give her a new one? Make her Broken Bailey. He says, I don't mean a copy of Broken Hardy, just like a more disillusioned version of herself. Get rid of the ridiculous ponytail and headband. Let her switch off her inflatable huggers next time she walks down the ramp. Give her a slightly darker outfit. So it'd be like Superman 3.
Yeah. Would she develop a drinking habit, too?
With a shirt. He says a shirt that says, hugs don't matter. Or Wonder Woman is fake. I like this. Don't turn her heel, but let her be a disenchanted babyface. She still stands for everything that is right, but she knows that in the end, heels always win.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
That is so depressing.
I know.
But I like it. Why not? Why not do it?
That's good.
Broken Bailey.
Rad Sandwich. Hey there, Steven Larson. Rad Sandwich. Attended Extreme Rules this past weekend in Baltimore, and I'm proud to let you know the crowd reception to Elias Sampson, the Drifter, was one-third camera lights, one-third booing, and the last one-third laughing out of chagrin as to what was happening. Mixed environment at its purest. My question is, what confused reaction have you guys witnessed during any particular show you have attended? Thanks.
I mentioned this recently with Bray Wyatt. Gets a really bizarre reaction.
I was going to say the House of Horrors because you were enjoying it on a certain level.
I literally went to get popcorn for that movie.
Yeah, you did. We went and got some food right before it was about to start. They're replaying a package, kind of recapping the Bray Orton feud. I came out first with my hot dog and I entered the arena right as the thing was starting to someone up in the stands laughing.
Yeah.
And so it was
because I think Orton was getting out of a limo.
Yeah, he was. That's what it was, with jeans. And so it was like a mix of laughter and boos, a lot of confusion, and then I think a few people that were kind of enjoying it on an ironic level,
like me.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was like, I don't even know if I want to call it. I mean, okay, look, whenever you were
appreciating the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah, and I understand that it was, you know, you can classify it as inadvertent comedy, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Apparently, Michael Hayes is the guy behind it. I'd like to think that he was just trying something different, but I don't know how much of it he actually thought was true drama in the way that maybe it was intended.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I don't know what his it'd be a good question to ask him, you know, given the reaction or how it turned out. Was it your original vision? Did you think that it was going to be something that was akin to a horror movie?
this next question here is great. Just thinking about it.
All right.
Go ahead and ask one and I'll do the next one.
So, okay. So this is from Blake the Devil Bevel. Oh, but here I was going to say about House of Horrors too, is that it was kind of like a misconception out there in the internet community about like what the reception in the arena was. On Wrestling Observer, Meltzer said it was booed heavily in there.
It was.
No, if the entire crowd was booing it, that's booing heavily.
There was a large portion of the crowd that booed it, and there was at least one boring chant.
But I don't know, man. It was not as... I'm not going to say it was like rejected soundly by the audience. It wasn't. The number one, a lot of the boos were coming from kind of close to us. And
well,
I feel like the stands
behind us, but wasn't like the people in our general
immediate vicinity. It wasn't at no point was the entire arena in consensus that this was crap.
Well, I would say that no point was the entire arena reacting in the same way at the same time. Like, not the whole arena was booing.
There was no consensus on this. That's my point. There was no consensus.
The overriding feeling I got sitting there was that a vast majority of the people did not enjoy it.
See, I didn't get that.
Oh, I definitely got that.
I thought there was a lot of weird reactions to it.
There was.
I'll put it this way. I don't know if the vast majority of them were enjoying it necessarily.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say the vast majority were not enjoying it.
I don't know.
It was weird.
The boring chants were pretty loud.
I don't know. But, you know,
You were really focused on what was on the Titantron, your popcorn.
I'll say this. You're right. I might be biased based on I was in it. I was focused on it. Maybe you're right. Blake the Double Bevel, first-time patron.
Thank you.
Been listening to you guys for the past few months every day before and after work, mainly due to the fact that I don't have a Hulu, a DVR, because my work hours go through Raw and SmackDown. And also because my radio's broken. Man, Blake, we got to start him a Patreon for a new radio. Anyways, he says he watches a Raw recap on YouTube. I'm getting to his question here. Let's see here. I find it awesome that Goldust is going back to the original Hollywood director-actor gimmick. Having said that, given how long he's been in the business, and being one, if not, the oldest full-time superstar on the roster, do you feel like this could be Goldust's last big run with the company or wrestling in general? And do you foresee a possible short-lived Intercontinental title run by the end of the year? Thanks for the hours of coverage. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it probably is his last run. No, there's not a chance in hell he's going to get a title.
Very, 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 very small chance.
I mean, you mean like point. We're in the point percentages.
Yeah, probably.
Not whole numbers.
But, you know, I would like to see it.
I don't think it's necessary.
No, it's not necessary.
Need it.
But it'd be interesting.
We need it.
See if they could get some good storylines for him.
Yeah.
Lindsay DXHBK, good day to both you friendos. With Impact Wrestling not wanting to let go of the broken property, and since Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner are both with the company, love to hear you both book how Jarrett, Matt, and Steiner, Jeff, will become broken on Impact TV thanks to you both. So
Steiner would be Itchweed.
So there would be a match where Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner would be a tag team.
Yeah.
And at one point, Scott Steiner gets a hold of one of Jeff Jarrett's guitars, tries to hit the opponent, but instead hits Jeff Jarrett.
Okay.
That breaks Jeff Jarrett.
Breaks him, yeah.
And so then they kind of, you could follow the same template for...
Well, I'd want Jeff Jarrett to be carrying around that broken guitar.
Yes.
Continuously.
Yes.
Like, he'd always have the shattered guitar. He'd be carrying it by the, what do you call
neck.
It? The neck. And just the strings would be dangling
yes.
with some pieces
yes, that's
of wood.
Good.
I like that. Steiner, I mean, I don't know. I think Steiner is about as broken as they get these days, just as himself. I need to watch that little sit down they did with
yes.
Because something tells me he's still not certain as to whether it's a shoot or it's fake. Fat bastard. This is weird. Tris Conway says, is it just me or does Roman look a little tubby? I don't think he looks tubby at all.
No.
I think he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he does look good.
What my mom say that day? She was on. My mom was over. She was like, that man looks like a snake. I'm like, metaphor, because, you know, a lot of people use that these days for, like, to, you know, say, oh, that person's a snake. I looked in my my stepkid's yearbook, and, like, in the teacher section, there's, like, she wrote in marker over a couple teachers, snake. Larson. Snake. You're definitely a snake, man. Anyways, next question.
Penultimate Tommy Wiseau. Does Triple H need to be a part of the Joe versus Lesnar feud?
Does who need to be who what?
Triple H need to be a part of the Joe versus Lesnar feud.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I don't really want that. Hey, but penultimate Tommy Wiseau, creationer of the H-belt.
Creationer.
He is the creationer, Larson.
All right.
Michael Smith, first time asking a question.
Thank you.
With SmackDown Live having the Money in the Bank, do you think Raw could have a pay-per-view where a superstar holding a lower-tier belt like the IC Championship or even the Cruiserweight title can surrender their title for a shot at the Universal Championship, kind of like what they did with TNA?
With Austin Aries.
Austin Aries surrendered his X Division title.
What do you call that? Plan C? Plan B? What option? Or what did...
Plan B is a form of birth control.
Yes, more
where
that.
You ejaculate inside of a woman.
You
and in order to
I know all this.
Ensure no pregnancy happens, go to Plan B.
Austin Aries had a name for it, and it was either... I can't remember what it was.
Oh, by the way...
You know what you're saying.
I'll tell you after the camera's
okay.
Oh, man. What? Yeah, it'd be cool. I'd like it. Anything that's different. Anything that's different that has to do with title change and stuff is cool. Let's see here. Scott Hall's survey, what a great name, says, isn't it ironic around WrestleMania last year we were complaining? I don't know why. It doesn't sound like Scott Hall at all.
No.
We were complaining about how there was no talent. Now, just over a year later, we're saying the opposite. Guess it's a good problem to have. Were we complaining about no talent last year at WrestleMania?
I don't recall that.
I don't know, man. Might be talking about a different podcast.
Yeah,
Nate. Why has nobody upvoted anything?
I don't know.
So weird.
Nate Morris. Vince changed his mind again. Money in the Bank is now both brands. Choose three men and three women from each brand and take part in the respective ladder matches. So three. So we'll do Shinsuke.
Okay,
AJ and Kevin Owens.
Okay,
from SmackDown.
I like how on SmackDown tonight they say for the first time ever Shinsuke Nakamura.
Well, in WWE it's first time ever.
Kevin, they didn't say that though. I guess secondly it's true because Kevin Steen and
true,
Shinsuke Nakamura.
True. On Raw we'll do Finn. So Finn and AJ could be in the ring at the same time.
Why are they cool about acknowledging AJ Styles' history with Nakamura and not Kevin Owens?
I don't know.
Anyways, who are we gonna Finn?
Finn. Drifter.
Drifter, of course.
And?
No.
Seth?
Seth. Why not? They're the best on the roster.
Good match. All right, three women from each brand. So Charlotte, Becky, and Carmella?
Yeah, okay.
And then Sasha?
Yeah, Bayley.
Yeah.
And Alexa Bliss.
Well, she's a champion.
Nia Jax.
Yes.
Good.
Good.
Very good. All right, one more question. We're going to do Kayfabe Corner.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Sin Sokolov says, I've been a patron for a while, but this is my first question. How do you salvage the club?
Just book them to look strong and win some matches.
Have them win.
That's
they
the most important thing.
They need to
win
something. Alexander Corrente has the same question. Yeah, they have to beat somebody.
They have to win.
Look, it's okay if you want to use them in this manner, like with Enzo and Big Show, but in the interim, you have to have them win something.
Yes.
Maybe they're winning left and right on main event. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But you need to do that on Raw where people are watching.
Yes.
They need to win.
They really should have gone to SmackDown.
They really should have gone to SmackDown. That's the problem.
Yes. All right, are you ready for Kayfabe Corner?
Yes.
What is Kayfabe Corner?
The greatest wrestling trivia challenge ever.
So this week's theme, the vote was Harley Race.
Harley Race.
And Terry Funk.
Terry Funk.
Terry Funk won.
Oh.
12 names, some real, some fake. Two cool. Bonus questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
One.
Let's do it.
Frankie Morgan.
Fake.
Yes. Two, Gary Royal.
Ah, that's real.
Yeah. Three, Mike Barton.
That's real.
Mm-hmm. Four, Jim Durango.
No, fake.
Real.
Oh, good job.
Five, Ferris Driscoll.
Fake.
It's a good name, though.
No, it's not.
Carl Jones.
Carl Jones, fake.
Yeah. Rock Riddle.
Rock Riddle. That sounds so fake.
Real.
Wow.
Super Leather.
Super Leather?
Yeah.
What a great name. I'll say real.
Yeah.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
Who's Super Leather?
Leatherface in IWA in Japan.
Oh.
He also went by Super Leather.
Nice.
The Bay City Bruiser.
That sounds so familiar. Real.
Fake.
Wow. Good job.
Jesse Barr.
Real.
Yeah. Dirk Simmons.
Fake.
Yeah. Mad Bull Rex.
Mad Bull Rex?
Yeah.
No way, fake.
Real.
Wow.
It's Pitbull number two.
Oh.
How many you got there? Eight?
Eight.
Damn. All right, first trivia question.
What are you up by? Aren't you up by like something?
I think it's only up by 5. Wait, what did I get last week? 7?
Yeah.
So I'm up by 6.
Okay.
I was up by 6. Now you're up 2. Who did Terry Funk beat for the NWA world title?
Gerald Briscoe.
No, Jack Briscoe.
I should have just said Briscoe. You should have said which Briscoe?
Yes, I would have.
Oh, man. I thought it was Gerald. That's good. Okay.
Nope. So Terry Funk had an interview segment in WCW. What was it called?
Oh, man. Really? Shit. Talking with Terry?
Funk's Grill.
Funk's Grill.
Yeah.
Is that a play on words?
Not that I'm aware of.
Was there a barbecue grill there?
I didn't look at pictures of the set.
No?
I assume.
I mean, I get that he's grilling you.
I would assume it would be some sort of, yes.
Like a barbecue setup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome to my grill.
Yeah.
You want a burger?
Or beer, yeah.
Or beer.
Yeah. So you got 8?
I got 8, baby.
All right, so you're up 2. That's fine.
That is fine, because next week I'm going to murder you.
No.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for our show.
Yes.
Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for tuning in. And so, oh, yeah, too sweet.
No, there
we get the $200,000 tier? No, you're trying to too sweet me?
There's some dust or a little bug floating there.
It's doing this. Botch. Anyways, thanks for hanging out. We're going to do a bonus episode for the patrons. And, yeah, that's it. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.